Join me, Andrew McGregor, on location in Havana to explore the current state of Cuba Classica. Sunday feature, this evening at 6:45 on BBC Radio 3.
And later tonight, you might also like to tune in for our drama on 3, a play by David Rudkin about the Greek playwright Euripides, who decided to cast himself into something of a self-imposed exile from his homeland in order to write an uncontroversial play for the king. So he sets himself up at home in Macedonia. But the mysterious noises that come from the nearby mountain change all of that tranquility and lead him to write his final and most shocking play of all, The Bacchae. Michael Pennington leads the cast as Euripides in Macedonia, our drama on 3 at 10 o'clock tonight. We're back to this afternoon, and at 4 o'clock, Sarah Moore-Peach will be back with us introducing choral music by James McMillan in this week's edition of The Choir. Music featuring the treble voice and music by Verdi and Rautavaara this afternoon. She'll also be joined by the colourful artistic director of Welsh National Opera, David Capoutney, who will be sharing his choral passions today. You can hear what they are at 4 o'clock in The Choir. And that's on Radio 3, where now Lucy Skeeping seems to be in a romantic mood for Valentine's weekend. It's time for the early music show.
Cupid, the slyest rogue alive, one day was planning of a hive. But as with too eager haste, he strove the liquid sweets to taste. A bee, surprised, for he was boy, pricked him and dashed the the urchin, when he felt the smart of the venom, angry got. He kicked, he flung, he spurred the ground, he blowed, and then he chafed the wound. He blowed and chafed the wound in vain. The robbing still increased the pain. Straight to his mother's
Cupid, the slyest rogue alive, aims his poisonous dart. Usually, of course, it's some unsuspecting lover who gets the arrow in his heart. But in this little song by Purcell, the tables are turned and Cupid gets his comeuppance. Welcome to the Early Music Show. And, well, it's that time of year, isn't it, between Christmas and Easter, when the corner shop starts displaying all those pink and fluffy cards to remind us it's Valentine's Day. It was Ophelia, wasn't it, who sang "Tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day, all in the morning betime." But the tradition goes back a lot longer than Shakespeare. In fact, there appears to have been not one, but two possible contenders for the role of the man who gave his name to the most romantic day of the year. One St. Valentine seems to have been a Christian martyr, executed in Rome sometime in the middle of the 3rd century. The other was a bishop of Terni in Umbria, who met a similar fate. The association with lovers may stem from the centuries-old belief that birds choose their mates on February the 14th, the saint's feast day, which also coincides with the older Roman fertility festival of Lupercalia. What is certain, though, is that troubled lovers have invoked St. Valentine since medieval times. And the custom of sending cards was first commercialised in, you guessed it, the United States in the 1840s and has since grown into a major industry. In this first set, we'll hear a gentle song very much in the troubadour style, where the man worships his lady from afar, calling her both my greatest love and my mortal enemy for the anguish she causes him. It's by Johannes Ockeghem, a native of Flanders, and is performed here by the Clarks Group. After that, we move to Italy for Monteverdi's madrigal Una donna fra l'altre, about the power of love. A lady sincere and fair I saw dancing in a group of lovely women, and she enslaved the hearts of all who saw her. First, though, a song from that wonderful 13th century manuscript known as Carmina Burana. This time the protagonist is the woman herself, Mary Magdalene, sometime biblical bad girl, who's apparently indulging in a medieval makeover. And you certainly get the feeling that the monks who sang this rather enjoyed the thought of Mary's naughtier side. Merchant, give me colours to redden my cheeks so that young men will fall in love with me. Give me perfumes, for I want to drench my body with scented oils.
Optime conspice litorum ec tibi convenient ad vultus decorum ex sunt odorifere quasi comprobans corporis flagrantia omnem super avis.
Thank you. d'amor, la voce 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 d'amor,
Concerto Italiano with a song about the power of love from Monteverdi's sixth book of madrigals published in 1614. Before that we heard Ochagem's Ma Maîtresse, and to start the set, a song from the Carmina Burana collection performed by Catherine Bott and Michael George. Lots of the pieces we're hearing today describe the pangs of love as experienced by Arcadian figures as well as mere mortals. The final song in this next group of three is performed by that excellent ensemble Le Poème Harmonique, a beautiful arrangement of an anonymous traditional French folk song, Loving Wishes, and the imagery is pure pastoral. My shepherdess rests, watched over by love. If only I were a zephyr, the air she breathes. If only I were the flower beneath her step, the pure water she drinks, or the dress she dons after bathing. Mind you, there isn't much of the lover's joy in the second song. It's also from France, but this time by the celebrated 14th century composer Guillaume de Machaut, one of the leading exponents of what was known as Ars Nova. In other words, the cutting edge of musical style of the time. Machaut composed for kings and princes, for the church and for the court. His music isn't always easy on our modern ears, and this repetitive virile for two male voices sits in rather a low register. But then it is all about misery and longing. Dead I am if I do not see you, honourable lady, for the burning which worsens my inner pain will kill me, I believe, for I do love you. But we start the set with something more upbeat from the Tudor composer Thomas Campion. It's a lovely image. The singer, here the countertenor Michael Chance, is so hot, so inflamed with love that he practically dials 999. Fire, fire, I burn in such desire that all my tears cannot allay my scorching pain. He then calls upon the rivers Trent, Humber and the Thames to drown his desire. And finally, the good old English weather. Come, heavenly showers, pour down upon me.
Fire, 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 nor yet I burn in such desire that all the tears that I constrain out of mine idle, empty brain cannot allay my scorching pain. Come, Trent and Humber, and the Thames, dread ocean haze.
Oh,
Songs on the theme of unrequited love, Campion's Fire Fire, the 14th century Dead I Am If I Do Not See You by Macho Before My Gothic Voices, and finally the anonymous chanson Les Tendres Souhaits. Sometimes, of course, being hopelessly in love can bring out the worst in people. And what better place to indulge in things like jealousy and revenge than on the stage? These next two pieces are both opera arias, and pretty dramatic they are too. In Charpentier's Medea, we witness the absolute extreme, a spurned wife taking her revenge in the power of the black art of magic. In this excerpt, Medea and her maidservant Nerine discuss what she should do about her rival. Before you burst in anger, Nerine tells her, try to recall the memory of your first love of your husband. But Medea has made up her mind. You spirits so ready to please me, fly, bring that fatal apparel, leave me, Nerine. Your eyes could not sustain the horror I am about to spread. Well, just 20 years separate the first performance of Medea and the aria that we're going to hear first. We don't perhaps immediately think of Vivaldi as an opera composer, and yet he claimed to have written an amazing 94 of them, 50 of which have come down to us today. This aria comes from his very first, Ottone in Villa, premiered in Vicenza in 1713. Jealousy, you return my soul from hell, but if I do not avenge myself first, then do not kill me. No, no, cruel, bitter sorrow. And how did they do anger and jealousy at the height of the Italian Baroque? Well, they just put in as many notes as possible.
Thank you.
two angry ladies from the opera house, Les Arts Florissants, with Lorraine Hunt as Medea plotting a ghastly revenge on her husband's lover in Charpentier's opera. And before that, we heard Susie Leblanc with the aria Gelosia from Vivaldi's Ottone in Villa. Of course, jealousy isn't just a preserve of the high and mighty, the gods and goddesses who inhabit Baroque operas. Last year, I came across an amusing song buried deep in the 1700 or so broadside ballads in the Samuel Pepys collection in Cambridge, printed on single sheets along with a crude woodcut illustration. These little ditties were the pop music of their day, sold on the streets of Restoration London for about a penny each. The title of this one is The Bloody Battle at Billingsgate, or a scolding bout between two young fishwomen. And certainly anyone purchasing a copy from a rough singing peddler wouldn't have been disappointed. A narrator sets the scene. One of the women has stolen the other's husband, and after they've exhausted their insults, they put their fists to it, and the fish buckets fly.
One morning of late, hard by Billingsgate, there Dolly, she happened to meet with young Kate. They quarrelled and fought and made a sad rout. And if you had no sirs what it was about, I will tell ye. Last Wednesday night, young Kate did invite the husband of Dolly, her joy and delight, and merrily they did frolic and play. Oh, whole winter's night till the morning next day, was it fitting?
Grown, shall I lie alone? And you have delight while his poor wife has none. You saucy and sow, I will not allow such business. But here I will pummel ye now, ye bold strumpets. Marry, say, Mistress Jill, my mind to fulfil. I'd have you to know he shall come when he will, and yet not by stealth, ye impudent elf. I have as much right to the man as yourself. He's no husband. I'd have ye to know, before I do go, that I can a lawful certificate show. Thus I am his wife, the joy of his life. But you have between us created much strife, ye bold strumpet. A twelvemonth ye hoard, then ye did afford a marriage by leaping twice over a sword. Your shouts are degrade, for Robin, he said, that under a hedgerow that writing ye made, hopeful marriage.
Ye pitiful trull, I never did gull like you, the poor drummer last summer at Hull. An impudent stock, you went breaking his lock, and stole the man's shirt for to make ye a smock. Stop it!
Slut, this is a lie.
She then did reply.
But here is one truth which you cannot deny. You pitiful punk, last week you were drunk. 4 men had ye home and they told me ye stung like a polecat. Are you not ashamed to all of your name? All honest good people against you exclaim. You left your poor brats and went to the three spats. There nay with a man for a bushel of sprats. Out upon ye.
Oh, I'll make ye to smoke for what ye have spoke, since you do so often my patience provoke. What flesh can forbear? Besides, I declare your neighbours know all well enough what you are, Mistress Trinkets.
She gave her a thrust and said,
do your worst. If you have much money that does lie and rust, why then go to law, I won't stand in awe.
Ah, with that down her face she had talons did claw with a vengeance.
Ow!
The other she flew and gave her a few. First tore off her hood, coif and fillet. wedding do? Hey, why did it scroll the smoke in their hole? And then in the kennel together they rolled like two fat sows.
You cat! You sow!
Women and men soon parted and then and bid them be friendly and quiet again. Their words did prevail, together they sail and drank up 2 quarts of hot brandy and ale in good friendship.
A fishy tale that ended happily, thank goodness. The Bloody Battle at Billingsgate, a 17th century broadside ballad to the tune known as With an Orange, performed by the City Waits. For the archetypal song of love, though, perhaps there's no better repertoire than that of southern France, the music and poetry of the troubadours and trouvères who flourished in the 11th, 12th and 13th centuries. It's often described as courtly love, an idealised form of sexual passion which developed into a sophisticated and aristocratic code of behaviour. In a sort of reversal of tradition, women were presented as objects of worship who held the upper hand with their lovers, while the man became the humble servant. It is important, though, to get the idea of the wandering minstrel out of your mind. The images from Victorian paintings and fairy stories. The real troubadours were often of noble birth, highly educated and skilful poets, musicians and singers, writing in Languedoc, the language of southern France. One of the most famous and most influential was Bernard de Vintadon, whose talents took him into the highest circles, including the court of Queen Eleanor of Aquitaine, wife of Louis VII. And it would be hard to imagine a more beautiful statement of love than Vintadon's exquisite Quand l'herbe fraîche. These songs are all about the poetry, and as you'll hear, they require just the barest of accompaniments, in this case, a bowed viol. When the fresh grass and the foliage appear and the flowers break out on the bough and the nightingale raises his voice and begins his song high and clear, I am joyful because of him, and I am joyful because of the flowers and because of myself, and more so because of my lady.
Quand l'herbe fraîche qu'il folle pas.
A troubadour song from 13th century Provence by Bernard de Ventadon, performed by Fay Newton and Hazel Brooks. Songs like that give us a direct line into the mind of the poet, the lover. But of course it is rather one-sided. Did the courtly woman ever jump down off her pedestal and throw her arms around him? Or did she perhaps jump down and run for her life? Our final music offers another point of view, since it's a duet. With two voices, the music itself can give you a further dimension, imitation and answering phrases and harmony and so on, more insight into the subconscious minds of the characters. Troppo lo tragi la mia fede comes from Handel's opera Circe, first produced in 1738. Asimene and his lover Romilda are quarrelling furiously and at cross purposes. The trouble stems from a family drama. Asimene's brother, the powerful king of Persia, has also got his eye on Romilda, and he's prepared to murder his brother to get him out of the way. An awful misunderstanding ensues in a battle of words introduced by a short recitative.
Romilda infida ed in me pensa ancora. Romilda che adora, di voi pensate ognora, per sprovarmi a partire, non per salvar chi ama. Dite che ser se brava nel mio morire.
The soprano Nourian Rial and the countertenor Lawrence Zazo, directed by Lawrence Cummings, in a duet from Handel's opera Circe. The Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping, and you can download a podcast of that programme and many previous editions too from the Early Music Show pages of the Radio 3 website. Well, next week Lucy explores some of the early music to emerge from the Caribbean island of Cuba. That's at 2 o'clock next Sunday here on Radio 3. And music in Cuba is the subject of our Sunday feature this evening. Andrew McGregor discovers whether there's a thriving musical scene, classical musical scene on Cuba, as there once was. Because before the 1959 revolution, Havana was a well-known stopping-off point on the international opera and concert circuit. After the revolution, though, the opportunities for exchange with Western classical music diminished. But more recently, Cuba has become an exporter of music, not least via the Buena Vista Social Club. But what of the classical end of the musical spectrum? Andrew finds out in Cuba Clásica, our Sunday feature at 6:45 tonight here on Radio 3. It's just 2 minutes to 3 o'clock now. Back to this afternoon, we're going to turn next to choral music. In just a moment, choral evensong from Windsor, and then Sarah Moore-Peach will be here.
Coming up on Radio 3 in an hour's time, our weekly celebration of singing together in the choir. There's music for treble voice, a rousing chorus for some blacksmiths, and a work for the haunting combination of mixed choir and flute. The ladies' barbershop group The Bells of Three Spires introduce themselves on Meet My Choir. And my guest today is the artistic director of Welsh National Opera, David Pountney. A former chorister at St John's College in Cambridge, he'll be sharing his choral passions at around 4:30. And at 5, my choral classic is Mendelssohn's Hear My Prayer. Do join me, Sarah Moore-Peach, on the choir at 4.
Music by Handel, this time from Messiah, Lift Up Your Heads, O Ye Gates. And it's from a recently released recording of Messiah by the orchestra and chorus of Le Concert d'Astrée, directed by Emmanuel Aim. This is BBC Radio 3, just after 3 o'clock. Next this afternoon, Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast live here on Radio 3 from the Queen's Free Chapel of St George at Windsor Castle last Wednesday. The canticles in E minor were composed by Daniel Purcell in the 17th century while he was organist of Magdalene College, Oxford, and the anthem by Daniel's older brother or cousin, Henry Purcell, is a setting of verses from the Song of Solomon. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The service opens now with an introit by Palestrina, Exultate Deo, Sing we merrily unto God our strength.
Welcome to St. George's Chapel, within the walls of Windsor Castle, for this service of choral evensong, as the church begins to prepare for the season of Lent. The College of St. George has been a place of prayer since 1348. This chapel stands at the center of a living community of people with worship and hospitality and service at the heart of our calling.